Sometimes people, they give themselves too much credit. They weren't that deep into it in the first place. And they only fell away from falsehood. They only fell away from a false church. They only fell away from Babylon. That by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of, you know? I mean, the greatest engine for atheism is many churches. They turn people aside. And so it's not impossible for those people to come to faith because they were not in a place of faith to begin with. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We don't think that about you. We don't think you're going to turn back. We don't think you're going to fall away. He's not saying, though I'm talking about people falling away, I don't think that about you. Because you love the word. I'm thinking about things that accompany salvation, which is what, there are things that, see, salvation, there are things that accompany it. There's things that come with it. Perk benefits. Righteousness, godliness, holiness, deliverance from lust, deliverance from alcohol, deliverance from incontinence, intemperance. Deliver us from selfish desires. Deliver us from all manner of wickedness and iniquity. Those things accompany salvation. They're all available. But you must believe the promise. And the promises are here. They are here. And God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God doesn't forget, you know, like I said, your dead works and so on and so forth. But the work's done. And your love and so on and so forth. God does not forget it either. Like I said, you cannot approach God based on your own works. But God, when he graciously invites you, he does reward you for your works. See, that's the thing, is that people understand there's dead works, and there are works done in life. Living works. The works of God happening in us. And the labor we do in him, which we have showed towards his name. And that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to do the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now that we have to be diligent. Diligence is a word that comes up a lot. It means to use speed. You know? And it doesn't mean just, you know, but it means we go after things. We go and get it. You know, we don't want to be slothful. We want to use diligence, which is speed, spoute, to the full assurance of hope to the end. See, that's what I was saying. Like, we want to keep, hey, I know you haven't come to perfection yet, but the point is we use speed to get there. We use speed to try to strive after it. Right? So that we can have full assurance of the hope to the end. We want to be fully assured. We want to make our calling and election sure. So we continue after the works. We believe in the power of God to do the works in us. See. Be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let's do like our forefathers before us, right? Like the Apostle Paul. Like Abraham. People who believed God and then got what God promised. Very simple. Believe that Jesus came to turn us from our iniquities and continue in that belief. Until you get it. Meaning you don't quit. But follow after it. Do things with speed to try to help it along. Who knows, perchance, what way God's going to bring it to you. That's why when I'm seeking things that I know need to be fixed, I look for different ways. What is it that I need to make me upright in this? I'll find a way to escape temptation. Because God's going to show it to me. And I don't care if I got to scramble around searching for it in the dirt. Or if I have to, you know, run around, whatever. You know, will this work? Will that work? You know, maybe I should change this in my life. Maybe I should change something else. Maybe if I change something else in my life, it'll impact things so that I'm able to avoid temptation. Maybe that's the way of escape God is providing me. Maybe he's giving that to me by the Spirit in my mind. So do not be slothful, but rather diligent. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying will I multiply thee. And so, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, for an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The next chapter is about Melchizedek. Let's just finish this one up, though. Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. That was the promise to Abraham. That goes back into the book of Genesis. I think God made a promise to Abraham. He had no greater to swear by than himself. He swore by himself. So after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He endured and waited. People say, well, I don't feel very patient. It's not about feeling patient or blissful as you're waiting. Patiently waiting means, I'll tell you what, I've lost my patience. You know what it means to lose your patience? Like, so let's say you're sitting somewhere and you're waiting. Your leg is going, you feel irritated. You're waiting patiently. Believe me, you are patient. Inside, you could be boiling, but you know, you're still sitting there. And you're waiting to get in. That's patience. No patience is when you get up, walk out of the doctor's office, and say, forget it. I'm not going to wait anymore. That is to lose your patience. People, they've confused patience with blissfulness. You can be under an extreme amount of agitation, and they say, oh, be patient. I am being patient. I'm waiting. Believe me, if I were to lose my patience, I would just get up and go. I mean, obviously, patiently waiting is much more enjoyable if you are not agitated, right? If you can just sit there blissfully and wait. I wish I could be like that in every circumstance.